Good morning and welcome to Simply AI. It's Sunday, April 21st. On today's show, researchers at Stanford University explore direct preference optimization, a new frontier in machine learning and human feedback. Plus, we take a look at historical bias in machine learning with unobjective machines. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply AI. We start off with an exciting development in the field of AI. Researchers at Stanford have developed a new approach for training large language models called direct preference optimization, or DPO. This method aims to simplify the process of aligning these models with human preferences and intents. Here to explain more is our AI correspondent, James. Can you give us an overview of what DPO is and how it differs from traditional methods?
Absolutely, David. Direct preference optimization is a streamlined method for training large language models that integrates reward functions directly into the policy outputs. This eliminates the need for a separate reward learning stage that traditional reinforcement learning methods often require. DPO uses a token-level Markov decision process, which allows for finer control over the model's language generation capabilities.
And how does this approach compare to existing research in language model training, such as reinforcement learning from human feedback?
Existing research, like reinforcement learning from human feedback, or RLHF, often involves more complex and computationally expensive procedures. These methods aim to align language models with human intent using techniques like proximal policy optimization. DPO distinguishes itself by simplifying the reinforcement learning process and enabling more immediate feedback application directly into the policy learning process.
The researchers tested DPO using the Reddit TLDR summarization dataset. What were some of the key findings from this evaluation?
The implementation of DPO demonstrated measurable improvements in model performance. When employing beam search techniques within the DPO framework, the model achieved a win rate improvement ranging from 10 to 15% over the base policy on 256 held out test prompts. This quantitative data showcases DPO's effectiveness in enhancing the alignment and accuracy of language model responses under specific test conditions.
It sounds like DPO has the potential to significantly improve the training processes for generative AI models. What are some of the broader implications of this research?
The findings underscore the potential of DPO to simplify and improve the training processes of generative AI models. As large language models continue to evolve and capture more nuanced human preferences, methods like DPO can help bridge the gap between human expectations and machine output. This research contributes to the ongoing advancements in computational linguistics, focusing on refining how machines comprehend and generate language aligned with human feedback.
Thank you, James, for breaking down this exciting new development in AI research. It will be interesting to see how approaches like direct preference optimization shape the future of language model training and generative AI. On the topic of AI, let's shift gears and dive into the complex world of machine learning biases, with a specific focus on historical or social biases that can become baked into these powerful algorithms. Joining me now is our AI correspondent, Michael, to break this down further. Michael, let's start with the basics. What exactly is a bias in this context?
Well, David, in everyday language, we often think of bias as prejudiced or unfair judgment. But in the world of statistics and machine learning, a bias refers to anything that causes a systematic difference between the true parameters of a model and what the model actually estimates. So while we might hope that AI and machine learning can help us make more objective, unbiased decisions, the reality is that these models can actually perpetuate and even amplify human biases.
That's a critical point. We often assume that because an algorithm is making a decision, it must be impartial and based purely on data. But as you note, the humans designing these models and the data used to train them can introduce biases. Can you give us an overview of some of the key types of algorithmic biases?
Absolutely. Experts have identified at least 7 potential sources of harmful bias that can creep in at different stages of the machine learning pipeline. Historical bias, which we're focusing on today, arises right at the beginning in the data generation phase. This is where biases that already exist in the world get captured in the data that's then used to train the AI models.
I see. So if there are inequities or prejudices in the real-world processes or behaviors that the training data represents, the model will inherently learn and perpetuate those biases. That's concerning, especially for sensitive applications like healthcare or criminal justice. What are some examples of how this historical bias can manifest?
One often cited example is in the realm of hiring and job performance evaluations. Let's say a company has historically promoted more men than women into leadership roles. If that company then trains a machine learning model to select candidates for leadership positions using their past employment data, the model will learn to favor male candidates, even if gender is not explicitly coded as a feature. The historical bias in promotions gets baked into the algorithm and perpetuates the cycle of gender inequity.
That really highlights how subtle and pervasive these biases can be. Even if the designers have good intentions, the models can pick up on historical patterns of discrimination. So what can be done to mitigate these biases? Is it just a matter of using better, more representative data?
More diverse and representative training data is certainly important, but it's not a complete solution. Historical biases can be incredibly difficult to identify and remove entirely. Some cutting-edge techniques are being developed, like using adversarial models to try to predict and adjust for protected attributes like race or gender, but it requires constant vigilance and testing throughout the development process. AI teams really need to collaborate with social scientists, ethicists, and community stakeholders to understand the context and audit their models for unintended biases. Responsible AI is an active area of research and policy discussion.
It's a complex challenge indeed, but one that we must grapple with as machine learning is deployed in more and more high-stakes domains. Thank you, Michael, for walking us through this important issue. For Simply AI, I'm David. Speaking of complex challenges in AI, a new approach called causal AI is emerging that aims to understand the why behind the data, enabling more robust decision-making. This is in contrast to traditional AI methods driven by statistical learning that excel at identifying patterns from large datasets, but predominantly capture correlations rather than causations. Here to explain more is our Simply AI correspondent. So what exactly is causal AI, and how does it differ from these traditional AI methods?
Causal AI integrates causal inference into AI algorithms to model and reason about the world in terms of cause and effect relationships. Unlike traditional AI, which relies on correlations found in historical data, causal AI seeks to understand the underlying mechanisms that produce this data. It's important to distinguish between correlation and causation here. Correlation merely indicates a relationship where two variables move in sync, but it doesn't establish that one variable influences or causes the other. Causation, on the other hand, refers to a scenario where one variable directly affects another.
And how does causal inference work in AI? What are some of the key applications?
Causal inference is the methodology used in AI to deduce which relationships in the observed data can be described as causal. This is crucial in scenarios where decisions need to be based on predictions of outcomes from specific actions. Some key applications include healthcare, where causal AI can help determine the effect of a new treatment on patient outcomes, and economics, where it can shed light on the impact of policy changes on the economy.
It sounds like causality is especially important in decision-making systems. Can you give some examples of how causal reasoning enables smarter decisions?
Absolutely. In autonomous vehicles, for instance, causal AI can help understand and predict the outcomes of various actions, like sudden braking or acceleration. This type of causal reasoning allows the system to make safer, more informed decisions. Similarly, in the business world, companies are starting to use causal models to predict the outcomes of strategic decisions, such as changes in pricing or product offerings. By understanding the causal mechanisms at play, they can make choices that are more likely to lead to the desired results.
Despite the potential benefits, I imagine there are also some challenges in implementing causal AI. What are some of the key hurdles?
One major challenge is data limitations. Accurate causal inference requires high-quality data that captures the relevant variables and their relationships, and this kind of data may not always be available. There's also the issue of complexity. Causal models are often more intricate and computationally intensive than correlation-based models, which can make them harder to develop and deploy. But despite these challenges, the potential of causal AI is immense. By enabling more robust, generalizable, and explainable AI systems, it could revolutionize decision-making across a wide range of domains.
Thanks for that insightful look at causal AI and its potential. Shifting gears to another fascinating development, a new AI tool called Tyke is helping to capture uncertainty in medical image segmentation. Segmentation involves annotating pixels from important structures in medical images, like organs or cells. AI models can help clinicians by highlighting pixels that may show signs of disease or anomaly, but these models typically only provide one answer, while medical image segmentation is often far from black and white. Here with more details is our Simply AI correspondent, Bella. So what makes Tyke different from other AI segmentation tools?
Tyke is unique in that it provides multiple plausible segmentations for a given medical image, each highlighting slightly different areas. This is important because even expert human annotators might disagree on the existence or extent of certain features, like the borders of a nodule in a lung CT scan. By offering a range of options, Tyke helps capture this inherent ambiguity and uncertainty. Users can specify how many segmentation variations they want Tyke to output and then select the most appropriate one for their specific purpose.
And it sounds like Tyke has some other advantages in terms of ease of use. Can you explain how it differs in that regard?
Yes. A key feature of Tyke is that it can tackle new segmentation tasks without needing to be retrained. Training AI models is typically a data-intensive process that requires showing the model many examples and extensive machine learning expertise. By eliminating the need for retraining, Tyke could be much easier for clinicians and biomedical researchers to use out of the box. For a variety of applications, from identifying lesions in lung X-rays to pinpointing anomalies in brain MRIs.
So how might a tool like Tyke ultimately impact medical diagnosis and research?
By calling attention to potentially crucial information that other AI tools might miss, Tyke could help improve diagnostic accuracy. As one of the researchers pointed out, if a model completely misses a nodule that some experts say is there while others disagree, that's probably something you want to pay attention to. Ambiguity has been an understudied issue in medical AI, so surfacing those edge cases could provide valuable insight. For research, quickly segmenting images with Tyke could accelerate many biomedical investigations.
Thanks for that report, Bella. It's fascinating to see how AI systems like Tyke are being developed to assist in medical diagnosis and research by capturing uncertainty in image segmentation. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply AI. We'll see you back here tomorrow.